Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
As a consumer, one of the things that we can do is think more mindfully. Secondhand fashion inherently is a more mindful way to shop because you can't just go in and buy the thing that you want right away. It does force you to slow down. I'm Christina Urquhart. I am the publisher and founder of The Vintage Seeker, which is an online magazine for vintage buyers and sellers. I create content for consumers to show them where to find cool secondhand things, and I also provide education about the resale and secondhand market so that people can get more understanding of what's going on. I have always loved buying secondhand. I started in the furniture and decor world, and then I kind of moved into the fashion world. I've been very entrenched in the Toronto vintage community for a number of years, and this was my pandemic project. So I decided to do something creative, and I wanted to create a space that would provide information for consumers and for sellers because there wasn't a lot that existed in a sort of modern format. You know, I'm very active on social media. I've got newsletters and a website. So that taking that old world of vintage and antiques and putting a new spin on it. And that's kind of where the idea started, and it's evolved over time. And now I'm very involved in the reselling community itself and listening to what they have to say and trying to condense it and repackage it and get it out to consumers. So that's a big part of what I'm doing. The major platforms in Canada that you can find items that are being resold include Poshmark and Facebook Marketplace. Those are two big ones for reselling clothing. There's also Depop, there's eBay, there's Etsy. There's a number of resale apps that are available. There's a few that are up and coming as well. There's one called Starluv, Starluv. Those are the big five. I can't speculate why they showed up in the first place. I would hedge a bet that some of the platforms are there because there's an opportunity in the marketplace. There's a huge group of people who want to buy and sell, and these companies are trying to fill that void. So I can't say that they necessarily are sustainable 100% focused, but they are helping to contribute to this idea of reusing the things that we already have. Poshmark and Facebook Marketplace are probably two of the biggest. There is clothing sold on Etsy, but there is a real community around these. So Poshmark in particular, they have built a platform that allows people to come together and have parties, live shows, all kinds of things. So people really have a tie to that app. They want to continue using it. It would be very hard to draw them away from that app if there's already something that's providing the thing that they need. And then Facebook Marketplace is, you know, one of those places we all know we take our risks when we use Facebook Marketplace, but it's very easy because there's no fees, there's nothing really happening. You just set up your own meeting with a buyer and seller and you can kind of go from there. Vinted actually doesn't allow businesses to sell on its app. So by the time that it came to Canada in 2021, we had already seen this steady climb of people who were very interested in buying and selling. COVID happened, people were reaching into their closets and wanting to sell products from them and starting small businesses on the side of their desk, basically. So because they weren't able to do that on that app, it was purely for person to person. I think it was really hard to draw people off of the platforms they were already using, like Facebook Marketplace already exists for that in Canada. So Vinted, I think, had a hard time marketing to people. There wasn't a lot of outreach to let people know that it was here in the first place. I didn't know a lot of people who were using it. So that experience, I think, had something to do with the fact that they pulled out. Having something new needs to, they really need to impress people in order to make it last. So overconsumption is tied to secondhand, absolutely. I think it's important as consumers that we remember that these resale marketplaces that are owned by companies like H&M, they have other goals, right? They want people to come onto their website to, yes, browse their secondhand items, but they also want you to stick around and look at all of the new items. And those initiatives that they have are propped up by the sale of their new items. They can't recycle what their products are unless they've got people also buying the new stuff. So that is a very insidious thing that is part of our culture. We are constantly being sold to. We are constantly, even in the secondhand space, people are selling products to you. Of course they are. They have small businesses. They want you to buy their products. So as a consumer, one of the things that we can do is think more mindfully. Secondhand fashion inherently is a more mindful way to shop because you can't just go in and buy the thing that you want right away. It does force you to slow down. You know, there are a lot of haul videos online showing people who are grabbing all kinds of stuff. It might be secondhand, but they're still participating in that mindset that, you know, a lot of consumers participate in with fast fashion. So, you know, we want to be careful of that. We want to be mindful of that. But for the most part, secondhand fashion requires you to stop and think a little bit because you generally can't go in and find the thing that you want right away. It does take a little bit more time. The pricing conversation is difficult because when we're talking about people who sell secondhand goods, they have a value in their service that they have to build into the price. So the price is never going to be the same as what you might find at a thrift store. However, there are always going to be people who are going to take advantage of an environment or take advantage of the market. There's going to be a wide range of people in any sector. So in this one, it's the exact same. We have people who are really trying to keep their prices affordable. We have people who want to make a living wage doing what they're doing, which is absolutely fair. And then, of course, we have people who are going to take advantage. So as a consumer, the best thing that you can do is to learn more about what it is that you're buying. If you're interested in vintage Levi's denim, doing your research and finding out how the different colored labels actually affect the price in the end and why some are more valuable than other. That'll help you to train yourself as you are shopping so that you can recognize, okay, this is a good deal. I understand why this is priced this much because this person went out and sourced it. They cleaned it, they repaired it, they're doing all these things to it. And those will help you make those connections. There is a difference between a thrift store and a secondhand store. So a thrift store will receive its product from charities. So basically, when you donate your clothing to those clothing bins, charities will collect all of that clothing, bale it up, and they'll sell it to Value Village or Goodwill for a fee, a flat fee. After they do that, the charity is out of the picture. That's the point when the thrift store has paid the charity. There's no more direct helping the charity after that. Then the thrift store has all the items and they can turn around and put them on their shop floor. They also are receiving products for free from people who just drop off boxes of stuff at the back of the store. So they have all of this inventory, and at that point, it's up to them to do what they please with it, right? So we as a public are sort of under this impression that thrift stores are there to help people in need, and that is what they were there for historically. However, thrift stores have evolved over time, and some of them are for-profit corporations now, and they have goals, right? They want to increase their profits. So the pricing things that we are seeing on the floor at the thrift store, price increases that we are seeing on the floor at the thrift store, are reflective of the thrift store's goals to essentially make more money, right? Anybody can shop at the thrift store. You don't have to be, you know, without means to shop at the thrift store. You can enjoy it as an activity. Thrifting is an activity. A secondhand store, on the other hand, is owned by a small business owner who has gone out to myriad places to source their products. That does include thrift stores sometimes. Not every secondhand seller does go to the thrift store to find stuff. They'll also go to private collections, estate sales, they're finding stuff on the side of the road, they're going all over multiple hours a week to find this stuff. And they are adding a level of service that the thrift store isn't adding, right? They are cleaning the items, they are repairing the items, they are photographing the items if they're an online seller, they're merchandising the items if they're in a store. They have the same kind of labor costs that a thrift store would have in terms of paying their employees, paying their rent, all that kind of stuff. So the price is going to be higher. You're also getting a different customer service experience at a secondhand boutique than you are getting at a thrift store, and that's also reflected in the price. So there is a difference when it comes to what both are offering, and there is a difference in price. What we're seeing with the thrift stores, of course, is that they are using some of the open market values on items to price their goods. And that's been documented by staff on the thrift store floor who are told to use comps online, which means going online, using Google Lens, finding the item on Google search, and then, you know, finding an Etsy listing that may have been put together by a secondhand seller who has valued their item in a very specific way, and then turning around and putting that price on the item at the thrift store. And that's where we get all these videos online of people, you know, finding a vase at the thrift store for $50, and you're wondering why that is. Well, that's why, because they're using market value to determine the prices of items at the stores, and that is an issue. Affordability is very important, and ensuring access to goods for people who need them is important. And thrift stores, I think, should be stepping up to offer more programs for certain segments of customers. A lot of people don't actually know when you donate an item, you get a coupon in return so that you can come back and buy something. So encouraging more donations is another way that we can help with that. However, I also want to make sure that we don't confuse affordability with access to goods, because availability of the goods is not the issue. There is an oversupply and overabundance of goods. Like I said earlier, 25% of what actually comes to a thrift store even makes it to the floor in the first place. So it's not about the goods themselves, it's about the access to the prices. And the prices are too high on some of those trendy items. So thrift stores can definitely help. Consumers can also help. They can go and do their thrifting at independent stores that are keeping their prices low for their community, because those do still exist. We can also see more funding towards government funding towards programs, municipal programs that would ensure access to clothing for people who need it. And so that's something that's a little bit different than what we've historically done in the past. We've relied on thrift stores to provide this service, and not all of them are necessarily providing that service, because that's one segment of their customer base now. Their customer base has changed over the years.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.